Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and they've been voting for about 4.5 hours now in New Hampshire. Let's check in with WNYC's Matt Katz, covering New Hampshire for us today, and Annie Carney covering it for Politico. Matt is also the creator of our Christie Tracker and the author of the new book about Governor Christie called American Governor. Hi, Matt. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Brian.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Matt, where are you today?
I'm in Nashua today and headed to I'll be in Londonderry with Christie later and then Nashua tonight for the Christie victory party, or what he hopes is a victory party.
Annie, where are you?
Embarrassingly, I'm still at my hotel in Manchester because Hillary Clinton has no public events today. She's just doing some stop-bys at Dunkin' Donuts and restaurants with a pool of press with her. But I'll be with Hillary Clinton at her victory or lost party this evening.
I thought it was her husband who really liked to go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, she's trying to, you know, he probably naturally likes it more, but she did it yesterday. She's doing it today. She's with Chelsea, and then Bill Clinton is off on his own doing his own Dunkin' Donuts.
And I won't even bring up Chris Christie in that part of the conversation. But Matt, what's it like where you are, and what's the buzz?
Christie had what one staffer told me was his best town hall meeting last night. This staffer has been to all 72 of them. I have not. I've only seen a few. But it was he had his old school Christie magic on last night. I mean, I ran into two people who I had seen 2 days ago at a Jeb Bush town hall. And they were, one was uncommitted, and his daughter was a Carly Fiorina supporter all the way. They asked Christie a question last night, and then they listened to his 15-minute closing argument, which includes this story about his mother's last words to him on her deathbed. And they ran up to me last night in the snow outside Christie's town hall with tears in their eyes. They were fully committed, 100% Christie voters. They had told me on Saturday they thought Christie was too obnoxious and they didn't like his attitude. They sat there in the town hall meeting and they were totally changed. So, you know, that's what it comes down to for this guy. If he got in front of enough people at town hall meetings, if he looked enough people in the eyes, if he made enough people cry with touching emotional stories, I actually saw 5 people cry last night, then he has a shot at maybe, you know, beating a Kasich and a Jeb Bush. If not, he's in trouble and his campaign will be over this time tomorrow.
Listeners, any questions for Matt Katz from WNYC and Annie Carney from Politico? In New Hampshire, no electioneering for this morning. We did enough of that in the last segment, and we will do plenty of it as the days go on. Just if you have questions about what's happening in New Hampshire, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Annie, what's the buzz that you're hearing, and are there any indications about turnout?
Well, I don't know yet. It's still a little early to say on turnout, but the buzz for... The question for Hillary is, I think that anything under, so there's been public polling all over the place, but like showing her down like at the most 20 to 30 points, and everyone thinks that will tighten. I think that anything 10 or under, 12 or under, they will call her the comeback kid. You know, Bill Clinton famously became the comeback kid in New Hampshire, but he only came in second. So she will beat expectations if she gets a single digit, within single digits of Bernie here. But from the polls, from the most recent polls, she's the only demographic where she is beating him is in women 55 and over, like basically her own demographic. Young people, I think the polls show that it's like 81% to 9% he's beating her. So it doesn't, right now it doesn't look like she will make it, but it's a little early to say. People are still just starting to vote. And if she gets walloped here, losing by more than they expected, I think they will have a reassessment of the message of the campaign and why it's not resonating and change it up.
Well, we're certainly learning, and if the polls at all reflect reality in New Hampshire, as they did in Iowa, that Bernie Sanders is the candidate of white young America. It's going to be very interesting to see how that changes, if it changes when they go to South Carolina. But Bill Clinton, as you mentioned, has become a surrogate for his wife in New Hampshire over recent days, and very much the attack dog going after Bernie Sanders. Yeah. I'm going to play about a 45-second clip of Bill Clinton campaigning in New Hampshire on Sunday.
The reason this health care thing is so hotly disputed is that it only came up like the day of the South Carolina debate. For 20 years, Hillary's opponent had a different plan, which he called single payer, but it was really 51 payers because the states had to pay 14% of it. Soon as people started to ask questions about it, he said, the establishment's out to get me. This is terrible. I've been for this for 20 years. Introduced it 9 times without a single co-sponsor. You raise another $1 million. And once the money was in the bank, they dropped the plan in 48 hours. You got to give it to them. That's impressive. Impressive. But is it good for America? I don't think so. Is it good for New Hampshire? I don't think so. The New Hampshire I knew would not have voted for me if I had done that.
So, Annie Carney from Politico, is there any way to gauge how effective Bill Clinton has been on the stump up there?
I mean, I don't know. We'll see exit polls later today. But it was a huge, what he did, that was a speech. I was there on Sunday, and it was a complete 180 from what he was doing in Iowa, where he had this kind of milquetoast stump speech where he just talked about everything that Hillary's ever touched, she just made better, and it was a little boring, and it was lacking any punch. And then he comes out and does this. Like, that was one of about 15 attacks on Bernie he's had, from accusing him of the data breach with the DNC voter file. Like, this guy's been following the campaign closely and is really angry. And I think we saw it come out because the Clinton campaign realizes now that they held off too long on attacking Bernie Sanders and let him build and get momentum. And she didn't even mention his name for the first 10 months of the campaign. And they realize now that was a mistake. And I think Bill Clinton's coming out like that and attacking him was an acknowledgement that they let him off the hook for too long, and now they need to kind of make up that ground. So they're hoping to turn this narrative that he's not this pure politician, and he's actually running a pretty nasty campaign, like through his operatives and with implications about her character and her honesty. So they're trying to fight back. We will see if any of that sticks. But that was kind of the first time Bill Clinton put to bed his boring stump speech and came out with the attack stump speech.
Getting back to the Republican side, Matt, I'm going to play a clip that's in the news today for crossing the line of decency. And surprise, surprise, it's from Donald Trump. And as you probably know, and some of our listeners know, it made it to the front page of the Daily News this morning. It's Trump's final rally in New Hampshire. And I'll just say the bleeped word here is slang for a female body part and begins with P.
People are worried about my tone. You heard the other night at the debate. They asked Ted Cruz, serious question, well, what do you think of waterboarding? Is it okay? And honestly, I thought he'd say absolutely, and he didn't. He said, well, it's, you know, he's concerned about the answer because some people, she just said a terrible thing. You know what she said? Shout it out, because I don't want to. Okay, you're not allowed to say, and I never expect to hear that from you again. She said, I never expect to hear that from you again. She said, he's a pussy. That's terrible. Terrible.
Well, Matt Katz, that is some way for the candidate leading in the polls in New Hampshire, but with a lot of last-minute volatility presumed, to try to seal the deal.
It's pretty incredible stuff. I mean, and there's no indication that this will hurt him in any way. I met a Trump supporter at a Christie event the other night who said that Trump's a jerk. He said that Trump's a narcissist. He said that he will probably call foreign leaders' wives fat pigs, and yet he's voting for him because he will make the country better for himself, this guy told me, and therefore he will make the country better for everyone. I mean, nobody's been able to explain it, so I can't begin to try, but there's no indication that this will necessarily hurt him more than anything else has hurt him.
And this was not just sexism, it was pro-torture sexism. which is, again, quite a way to try to seal the deal. Because what was happening in that clip? He was berating Ted Cruz for not going as far on torture as he, Trump, did in the debate last Saturday night, where he said, yeah, I'm for waterboarding and worse than waterboarding because they chop off people's heads, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're not for something worse than waterboarding, then you're that P word. And not only that, but he uses the P word and revels in it. And I don't know, what was the gender mix? You weren't at that rally, right? Well, I wonder what the gender mix at that rally is, because one of the most interesting things about that clip to me was that people were cheering, and those cheers went on for a little while.
You know, my experience at Trump rallies is it's majority men, but there's plenty of women there. But also, when we listen to the crowd noise, we should remember that there's a lot of people, gawkers. I mean, there's a lot of people that are there for the show. They are not necessarily Trump voters, but they live nearby. About half of the people in general that I've spoken to over the past few days are political tourists who come in from out of state. You're not necessarily getting a pure reflection of the election from the crowd noise.
Right.
Having said that, he's still, you know, been leading in every single poll taken since this campaign began in New Hampshire. So,
right. And that reaction also, just, you know, to finish with this clip and then we'll move on from it.
Yeah.
But the first line of the clip was, people are worried about my tone. Well,
yeah.
Don't worry about my tone. I will be temperamentally suited to be president of the United States. I'll just do the rest of what he went on to do.
And he had surrogates saying after the debate on Saturday night that, look, he's becoming more presidential. He's avoiding making, you know, any controversial comments. And then, you know, he makes probably one of his top three most controversial comments of the whole campaign on the eve of the primary. So
right. As my producer points out, it's only fair to mention that the member of the audience who first yelled out that word about Ted Cruz was, in fact, a woman.
That's right.
So, for what it's worth. Annie Carney, you're covering the Democrats. I don't know if you want to weigh in on this thing at all, or if I should just ask you another Clinton-Sanders question.
Well, I think that it's the kind of thing that Hillary Clinton sees no benefit on weighing in on, and... like with the, this isn't the first time. Are we allowed to say the other word he used few weeks back?
I don't know which one.
spell it.
Talking about S with S. that she got schlonged. That was like another whole thing that the Hillary Clinton refused to weigh in on. I think like she's playing the gender card here. Being the first woman president is a big part of her campaign this time. And I guess if she's going to run against Trump in a general, if that is the matchup, then I would think that they see this kind of stuff as helpful to them, because it is alienating to women, and women are going to be what gets Hillary elected if she gets elected. So that, I don't, that's what would be my take.
Annie, before you go, what is all this about a staff shakeup, or how much they would shake up? It was reported in various media yesterday that if she loses by a wide margin tonight, something like that is coming, and she flatly denied it in an MSNBC interview yesterday. So what should we make of all this?
Well, first of all, it was our story. It was me and
Glenn Rush. It was. Forgive me. That was Politico. That was your I'm going to give you credit. It was your exclusive story. Yes, it was.
Yes. And I would say of her denial, if you actually read her denial, it's really actually a confirmation. She says, like, of course we're going to look at our options and take inventory. I don't have it in front of me, but take inventory and see what's working and what's not.
She also said she got confident in the particular people, right?
She does. And we if you read our story, no one is getting fired. I don't think that's what's happening.
Uh-huh.
But there is concern over the chief strategist Joel Benenson and how he's overseeing the campaign. The Clintons have often liked a kind of like a full service strategist, like a Mark Penn type, who and Joel Benenson has been he was a former Obama guy. He's known for his polling, and he hasn't been occupying that space of someone who's overseeing every part of the campaign and giving them a complete roadmap. We've reported from the beginning, he's also been frustrated with having to spend his time defending her on emails and doing other things instead of working on what message resonates for this candidate. So there's been, and of course, when things aren't going well, she won Iowa, and a win's a win, but it was a little too tight to feel completely confident about putting Bernie Sanders to bed. And if she loses here by a wide margin, unfortunately for them, South Carolina is not next. Nevada's next, which is Bernie it will do better in Nevada than in South Carolina. So there's some concern here, and the Clintons like to change it up when things aren't going well for her. And we saw some, like David Axelrod tweeted, I think, in reaction to our story, like, when this keeps happening, when do you realize it's the candidate and not the staff? Because a lot of these problems, you could say, come from her and her message and what she's about and what they're working with. So we did not write that anyone's getting fired. We wrote that they are looking to change things up and maybe bring in some new people and work on what the message is here.
All right. And Matt Katz, 15 seconds. What will it take for Christie to stay in after tonight?
He's got to beat John Kasich and Jeb Bush, the other governors in the race.
He's got to beat them? He's got to actually beat them, in your opinion?
I think he's got to beat them. It's possible that if it's so close and so cluttered together that it gives him a reason to move on to South Carolina. But if he were to lose decisively to both of them or one of them, it's going to be really tough for him to have the money and the reason to really continue to South Carolina primary a week from Saturday.
Matt Katz covering New Hampshire for us today, also the creator of our Christie Tracker and author of the new book about Chris Christie called American Governor, and Annie Carney in New Hampshire for Politico. Thank you very much for checking in with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
And a reminder that our New Hampshire primary coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll be hosting the first hour, and then we will take New Hampshire public radio coverage for the rest of the night, beginning at 8 o'clock. This is something that they're doing for their state as their state votes, but we're going to be listening in on New Hampshire public radio's own coverage, and I think it'll be really interesting. So I will host the 7 o'clock hour, then we'll go to New Hampshire public radio starting at 8 until it's over. So join us tonight for New Hampshire primary returns here on WNYC.